Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, as we go to your word, that you quicken us, our minds, our hearts, Lord, that we may appropriate and receive everything that you have done. And we may, Lord, acknowledge, Lord, and respond, Lord, to your work in our life. We thank and praise you for what you already done, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, that as we open ourselves up, Lord, you continue to do the work of restoring us to the way, Lord, that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We have been talking about manifesting the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus did when he came on earth. And that's what he wants us to do as his disciples. You know, he said very clearly, the signs shall follow them that believe. And we are believers. And we expect the sign to follow us. We expect the Holy Spirit to work through us and in us to accomplish God's purposes. Because this is the way he chose it to do, the way he chose to operate. We have a part to play in establishing his kingdom here. And one of the parts that we have to do even today is to manifest it. But to do that, we had to operate in faith. We had to operate according to the word. We had to do the things he called us to do. How many remember the assignment that I gave last week? Anybody? Oh, boy. I knew it. I said, you know, one of the things we can do when we get up in the morning. You remember now? Some of you. Okay. Is to remember the scripture on 3 John 2 that says, you know, that we can, the Lord desire is for us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prosper. And the idea is that we had to prosper, allow our soul to prosper. And there is only one way for our soul to prosper. It's the word. It's staying the word. Last week we just mentioned, you know, used Psalm. Yeah, what this should be here. Anyway, yeah. You see, we saw, you know, Proverbs 4, 20 to 24, you know, in which explain and directed us on how to allow the word to develop us and to grow into the ability to receive both physically and mentally and emotionally, you know, the transformation that he wants to do with us. Okay. This is that's the starting point, but we have, you know, the scripture talks much more about how that works. See, we have to understand, you know, how that changes everything for us. You know, one of the things that said in verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. You know, the heart is really the key for us to operate in the right way when the heart is influenced by the word. And we're going to see that the word actually gives us much more information on how that's going to happen and the effect that that's going to have. You know, there's a lot of teaching, especially in the faith message, that talks about the, you know, they say, that the heart is the same thing as the spirit, but it's not true. The heart is not the spirit. And we are going to see what the heart and how the heart works. And how important the heart is, because really the heart is the place in which we experience things that come from a spiritual dimension. But they manifest themselves in the physical realm. I'm not going to do a study on the word today, and I probably am going to take all a series to talk about that. But it's so very important for us to understand our heart, because this is what God said. You know, if you remember, do you remember when Saul was rejected by God? And Samuel went around trying to identify or trying to connect to the person who's going to be anointed to be the king. And he went around, and God directed him to go to Jesse. And Jesse, you know, said, show me your children. And he started showing all the children. You know, all of them, they passed on, and some of them were strong and good-looking and everything else. And the Lord all the time said to him, not this one, not this one, not this one, until, you know, all the children that passed by. And said, what's going on? I mean, God told me to come here. God told me to anoint one of your children. And he didn't say that, but I'm sure Samuel thought about that. And he said, you know, do you have any other ones? I said, oh, yeah, there's a little guy there that is looking after the sheep. I said, all right, bring him over. And the word this says, I'm going to read the scripture here for you. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. This was about the last son who was there. You know, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So you see, the heart is what God looks at. And the heart is what actually determines what a person is. The behavior, the passion, the desires, the affections, all these things are coming from the heart. And this is what God values. Jesus himself, in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, says, a good man out of his good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure in his heart brings forth evil. So you see, a heart can be good or evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But it's not just the mouth that speaks. The mouth is just an element of from which we can see what is in the heart, because the person speaks, you know, all the time. But all the other behavioral characteristics come from the heart. See, the heart, if you want, represents the character of a person. Now, when we understand that, and we understand that when God, you know, when we respond to the call of God in our life, it's because we yield our heart to him. When he comes to live in our heart. See, the heart is the seed of your affection and passions. Any inner experience that affects the body and the actions are really a manifestation of the heart. The Bible talks about a pure heart. Give me a pure heart than the psalm. Or, you know, a heart that love is a result of from our heart. The joy, courage, grief, hate, envy, lust, all these are fruit of the heart. And some of them, as you know, are fruit of the spirit. Other ones are fruit of the, you know, the result of the work of the flesh. So depending on what is influencing your heart, depends very much your relationship with God. Now, see, we can have an effect on our heart. We, you know, it's not that it's just something that is there that we can know. Our spirit is the work of God, and when we are born again, our spirit is reborn and we are a new creature, but our heart is not. Our heart is still can be bipolar. So we need to fix it. Sometimes, you know, although in some part time in the Bible, heart and soul is used interchangeably, but it's not the same thing. And I don't have the time today to go into all the detail for that. I want to, you know, show and discuss some of the points, present to you some of the points that the Bible says concerning how we can affect and change our heart so that we are lining up with the Word of God. See, everything in the kingdom is connected to the Word. In the kingdom of God, the Word is the rule. And so if we want to operate in the kingdom, we have to go to the Word. The Word is the basis for us, for everything. Because that is what produces in us the thinking and the heart of God reproduced in us. Now, if we go to Joshua, and Joshua is a good example, both from the point of view of the direction that God had for Joshua, as well as his behavior. Now, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage, for you shall divide for an inheritance to this people the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them." So really, you know, be strong. Actually, the word there in Hebrew means be resolute, be firm, and of good courage. Courage, that means bold and determined and brave. You know, all those things are characteristics of the heart. So he's telling him to be in a certain way that actually is reflected from the heart. Now, you know, we can have that, or we sometimes may feel differently inside ourselves. And communication with Joshua, God is actually giving the direction to be able to have the heart that is strong and courageous. Because otherwise we can have a heart that is not that way. All right? So we can go on here, say. Verse 7. "Only be strong and very courageous." You see, I mean, he's insisting. See, this is what God expects from us. That we be firm in our position and have courage, not be afraid of things. See, if you remember 2 weeks ago, I asked for people that there were a problem with fear. Lots of people came up. And I was really surprised about that. And I really think that this is one of the problems that we have in the world today if we are not connected with God. Because there is where we get our courage and our strength. So, you know, the fact that we are fearful is an indication that our connection with God is lacking in some way, and we need to get some healing in some areas in which the relationship is affected by the experiences we have. See, a child, when he's born, is afraid of nothing. Later on, he starts to have some experiences that are negative, and he starts reacting, and his fears come up. And the more negative experience that the child has, the more negative feeling are going to be there connecting him in a fearful or shy or a situation of, you know, just born child is not even shy. Later on, he start to be, you know, don't know somebody and start to fall away. So this is really the experiences that we can develop within us, in which we are strong and very courageous as we connect with the Lord in the right way, and He heals those wounds that have been generated by the negative experiences that we had. Now, you know, Joshua was under Moses' direction for many years. At that time, he was 40 years old. And he grew under Moses. And so he was, learned from Moses many things. And some of the things that he learned is really to connect with God, so that there were healing evidently took place in him. And he had a completely, fully dedication of himself to God. And we can see that actually the way he operated was even better than Moses himself. Maybe that's the first time you heard that. But we can see how actually Joshua listened to God and obeyed in a way that not even Moses did. We'll see the detail of that. Let me continue these verses, and then I briefly going to mention some things about Joshua's life. So, only be strong and very courageous, so that you may be careful to do according to the law. You see, if you are not very courageous and strong, you are not going to be able to do according to the law. Because it's not easy to obey God with our own strength. Okay, but when we receive His strength and His courage, then we are going to be able to do it. Okay, so that, you know, do according to the law, which my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, so that you may act wisely whenever you go. So you see, when you go according to God's direction, you're going to be wise. Wisdom means that you know what to do, the circumstances you are in. So you know the things to do so that it's going to work right. Okay? It says, this book of the law, for our case, is the word. Okay? Shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to what is written in it. For then, you see, for then, when you meditate on it day and night, you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall act wisely. You see, acting wisely is the result of meditating on the word day and night. The word is inside you, guiding you continuously. And as it guides you, you can do the things that are appropriate according to God's plan in your life, not because you are trying to be religious, but because the Word is operating in you. Jesus was the Word made flesh. So He was acting on the Word all the time. All right. When we do not meditate on the Word day and night, we are going to act unwisely sometimes, because we are going according to our own thinking instead of His thinking. Okay? So, have I not commanded you? See, what is so insisting about this? Have I not commanded, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, neither dismayed. You see, dismayed or discouraged. Okay? For Jehovah your God is with you in all places where you go. So you see, this is the source of our strength and of our courage. Because we know that God does not leave us, not forsake us. God goes with us. And as He goes with us, we can be courageous, we can be strong. We know that we have He's on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? And even if they are against us, they're going to lose, because God is with us. Amen? Amen? So, see, the idea is, you know, Here is showing essentially how to operate according to kingdom principles. And one of the major points of kingdom principle is that we should be, the word should be ruling our life, should be guiding us, should be showing, giving us wisdom, should give us strength, should give us courage. So if we are fearful, then we need to go into the word to receive strength. I remember when I was saved, I was 1972. And at that time, I had problems with lots of fear. I had been an atheist for many years, and there was stuff that I had to deal with. There was lots of fear in me. And I didn't know any part, any church, any place that would teach me anything. I'd been away from the church. And what happened is the first things that the Lord did with me is to told me to buy a Bible. I bought a Bible and I started being in the Bible. And he gave me scripture to actually use when fear will come. One of the scriptures, if God is for me, who can be against me? And I remember quoting those scriptures when I was driving the car or doing other things or working or whatever. You know, if fear would come, I would just use those scriptures. And now I know that's exactly what the Bible says. But when I had no teaching whatsoever in those days. And the Holy Spirit himself guided me to do the things that was making a difference in my life. And with time, I overcame lots of fears. Now, you see, what happened as a result of this Joshua 1, 6 to 13 or whatever it is, not 10 or so, Joshua started actually doing that even more. God spoke to Joshua all the time. He listened, he obeyed, and God continuously directed him in all the different things he was doing. And because he meditated on the word, he was able to do things that not even Moses did. Okay. See, one of the problems Moses had, he was shy. And, when God told him, I send you to Egypt, me? I can't speak. You see, there was a problem with timidity and fear in Moses that, but still, God had called him. And so if God calls you, even if you are afraid and timid, he can give you the ability to overcome that. But that was always a bit of a problem. When it comes to speak, say, well, I'm stuttering, Well, get over the stuttering. I just remember it was about a couple of years ago. A young fellow came in one of the prayer meeting we had. And he couldn't say two words. Some of you were there. Couldn't say two words together. He was stuttering so bad. And I said, hi. Well, he was going to another Pentecostal church. But anyway, I introduced myself and he introduced himself, but was hardly able to understand what he was talking about. He was stuttering so bad. I said, I want to be prayed for the stuttering. Now, he was born that way. Less than 1 minute we prayed. He was completely free, started to be so fluent, there was no stuttering whatsoever. This was amazing, wasn't it? Yeah, it was just amazing. It was the first time I saw him and the last time I saw him. But doesn't matter. You see, God had a plan for the guy. And that was perfect. We had such a blessing that evening that because of he receiving that, it was so good. Anyway, just that came to my mind and I wanted to share that. It was really something quite, stuttering is a problem has to do with our ability to deal with the emotion that comes to us when, we, for example, we have to speak. But now, The Lord spoke to Joshua all the time. He didn't have problems stuttering like Moses. No, but not only that, you know, you can see that when he implemented things, he always did it in obedience to God. For example, you know, when we were ready to get into Jericho, you remember what happened. He sent I read you the scripture, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, says, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove, to spy secretly, saying, 'Go and view the land.'" You see, Moses sent 12 from all the tribe, and everybody knew it. So they came back, and two had a good report, Caleb and Joshua. All the other ones says, "Oh, you know, they're big, like we are grasshopper, and they're going to eat us up." All right? You remember that. Well, Joshua meditated on the scriptures and saw what happened before. And he was not going to do the same mistakes that Moses did. He just sent two secretly. Nobody knew. If they come back with a bad report, I tell them, forget it. God had to go, and we are going to go. See, he didn't want to have the opportunity to give them ability to have an effect on the people. If you remember what happened, I'm not going to go into detail. But there are so many other details of what he did in getting into the promised land. First of all, okay, from the time they came out of Egypt, not Jews, not anyone of the Israel people was circumcised. And God brought that to his attention. And he circumcised every man there. Why? Because God said to do that. And that was a sign of separation. See, things were not kept properly from when they came out of Egypt. And they were affected by that. Joshua wanted to do everything the way God said to do. Circumcision was one of the things that God has spoken before, and even Moses had to do it. But if you remember, the wife of Moses wasn't too impressed about circumcision. He called, "You're a bloody man." Okay. And so, there was evidently pressure not to conform to the direction of God. But Joshua decided he was going to do everything God's way. Another one, they came out of Egypt, and they, if you remember, the time of the Passover. No Passover was kept for all those years as they were wandering in the desert. Joshua reestablished the Passover before they got into the land. See, that was obedience to the direction of the Lord. This is, we are under his covering. Are you following me? Okay. When they crossed the Jordan, they didn't just cross the Jordan. God gave him exact directions on how they had to come through the Jordan, and he just followed them up perfectly. You see, he was not doing things, and God was speaking to him the details of what to do. See, that's the difference. That's the impact of meditating in the Word day and night. He was receiving direction from God so that he could do the things that God was telling him to do. He was listening, and he was being wise. He was having victory. And one of the things that God told him to do is when you go and overcome in Jericho, you just destroy and kill everybody except the family of the prostitute that was there, but every of the other things you burn, you kill, except for the gold, you give it to the Lord and the silver. One person on all Israel disobeyed They got a tremendous victory, if you remember. Okay, I mean, even, you know, the thing of going around the Jericho for seven times and finally do it, everything was planned, God's plan. He told him exactly to do, and the impossible took place because there was no way they were going to be able to get into Jericho in the physical. But with God's help, all things are possible. See, we have to remember, with God's help, all things are possible. And if all things are possible, he's going to, you see, for God helps, that means, Senor, that you don't just say, oh, I trust in God. No, God is going to give you specific direction on what to do to overcome. As you are obedient, you see, the thing is, obedience makes all the difference. So as God directed him, okay, he showed him what to do. And he said, you know, do these things. Just one person did not follow that principle. And after that, they were defeated in battle. And they had to be, he had to be killed with all the family of this person. Because he had kept some of the gold and the silver for himself. Okay? So that's the impact of obedience to be able to operate in the kingdom. If you operate in the kingdom, that means you're going to stay in the word day and night. And then the word is going to take over your life to guide you, and you are not going to make an effort to be obedient to God. You know, so that says, you know, so that you are going to be courageous and strong inside when things go in a way that you had to fight against the enemy in your life. It's the word that makes the difference. As you stay in the word, you see, and the effect on the word is in your heart. See, the strength, the courage, the ability to do all these things in obedience to God, to give you the ability to be obedient, comes from staying in the word. You see how important the word is for us to succeed and to achieve God's purposes in our lives. See, we had to learn to follow God's instructions. Now, you see, we talked about already two parts, you know, in Proverbs 4, 20 to 24, actually up to 27, because there was more even there. And we talked about, you know, Joshua 1, 6 to 10, to 9, 10. Okay. Well, there is even more. Each time the Lord talks about these things, he expands more on what to do so that we understand some of the implications, so that we are able to do what he calls us to do. Otherwise, we are too weak and too fearful to be able to do God's work. It's not a question, you know, some people have a stronger personality and they can do more naturally because that's the way they are. You know, maybe they're more brave in themselves. But that's not talking about that. It's talking about the strength and the courage that comes from the Lord. It's a different thing. It's a spiritual thing. Even the strongest person, when they face themselves in situations that are impossible to overcome, they give up because they realize it's impossible. But the one that is filled with the Holy Spirit and has the power of God inside, that means the word working in them, they know that all things are possible and they are not intimidated even when they face situations that are impossible to handle. Praise the Lord. I don't think I have the time to do another scripture. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think we should say a prayer together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that you have done for us. I thank you for sending Jesus to be our example on what we can do with the word operating in us. Thank you for your word that is not far away. It's even in our mouth. So we can speak it. We can believe it with our heart and speak it with our mouth and demonstrate and manifest our salvation, the salvation that comes from being in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.